In our ongoing study, and I don't know if you're getting bored with it or not, but every time I turn around, I find another thing that's important for us to make sure. Something that often gets questioned. And one of the things that we must handle in our series of Hath God Said is, what hath God said about children in the church? What is their function? What is their purpose? So often when you see modern day Christianity, the point is to shuffle the children away, to stop them from becoming a, what they would call, distraction within the church. And to me, I feel that that is a very egregious thing to do. I do believe, as I have stressed upon multiple times, it is the church's job to educate children on their level. That is why we have Sunday school class. That's why I have to ask the kids again to forgive me. We just do not yet have our Thursday things going yet. We'll get there. Just be patient with me. That's why we do our things on Thursday with the kids. That's why we have camp. Pray for camp. I'm desperately seeking for volunteers from other churches to come and fulfill roles and things that they could be doing there. I've had several that have. And I appreciate them, but some of the churches who are bringing in larger groups of kids, I'm hoping for a few teachers and a few other things to come out of that group. If you are an adult here and you're looking to come to camp, if I can stress or beg or whatever I got to do to get you to come, and you think you'd be able to come and be a good help to us, I'd appreciate that as well. But pray for that. But that's why we have things like camp, to take young people and teach them on their level. Why? Because they're not on the adult level yet. You understand? Most of the kids that we have attend to our church, they don't have the attention span to sit in the pews and listen for both the adult Sunday school class, where we will discuss topics and notions that are above their understanding, and then follow that up with however long the pastor decides he's going to preach today. And it takes a while for them to get there. So it is perfectly possible for a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old to come into church and walk out and have absolutely nothing, to get absolutely nothing from what was going on there, just because their brains are still developing, just because their attention spans are still developing. So what is the purpose of Sunday school? To bring them in and teach something on their level. And I heard somebody say, well, brother, isn't that the job of the parents? You better believe it is the job of the parents to educate the children in biblical things. But what's the church going to do? Sit on its hands? In a place where we have teachers, preachers, leaders, we're supposed to do what? Have them come in and get no biblical education whatsoever? This is the place for biblical education. And it is not for us to sit there and coerce or force admissions of salvation. It is not for us to guilt them into coming forward and saying, hey, I'm saved. But for us to give them the tools and point them to Christ. Going back into our text here, forgive me, I got a little bit distracted. Verse 13 of chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. And it says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. You have to understand the heart of a parent. Many of you here, you've been parents. You are parents. You understand. Many of you, you do that today. You pray for your children. You bring your children to the throne of God's grace. And you say, Lord, help my kids. Heal my kids. Encourage my kids. Lord, save my kids, depending on who they are. Right? We make that prayer. I am always before my Heavenly Father saying, Lord, please save my children. Please help them. Lord, even down to their tests, I'll pray for their tests. And I tell you what, little Gideon, he doesn't have very difficult tests, but I pray for those tests as well. You know, he'll sit there and he's learned from his brothers. You know, he'll sit there and, oh, Dad, I got a test today in this, and he'll start to stress out. And why are you stressed out, buddy? And I'll just start to ask him. I'll ask him questions from the test. Well, that's this. That's easy. That won't be on the test. I'll ask him another question. It'll be on the test. Oh, that's easy, Dad. Finally, he'll take the test. He goes,
Those questions were easy. I go, I know, what'd you get all worked up over? I'll pray for his little tests. You know what I mean? We are always bringing our children forward. And that's what folks were doing. They would say, hey, Lord, bless this child. Hey, Lord, my kid is sick. My child was born with a deformity. There's a problem with it. My kid's got behavioral issues. I got this going on. I got that going on. Lord, please. And they were physically bringing their children to where Jesus Christ sat. And I tell you what, if we were alive during that time and he was within traveling distance to us, we'd have done it too. We would have said, Lord. Where are you taking the kids? Oh, I'm taking the kids to go see that Jesus Christ. Well, hold on, let me get my shoes on. I want to come too. Let's bring the infant. Let's bring the older kids. Hey, we got a couple teenagers, just became men. Let's bring them over to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were bringing their children. But the problem became when the disciples were sitting there going, oh, no, that's too much commotion. That's too much noise. I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people in this church when the last baby's done crying. There'll be a lot of people in this church feel sad. I heard somebody say that one time. Well, I don't like to go to church with my kids because my kids can be loud. Oh, please bring your loud children to my church. Well, doesn't that interrupt your sermon? Nothing on earth is going to distract me from talking. Come on. I had one person, oh yeah, we took our baby there. They didn't have a nursery at the church. We took the baby in and we were just visiting this church and the kids got up and the baby started screaming and everybody looked at me like I was the worst parent ever. This one lady, she told me, shh, get your kid out of here. It made her feel real uncomfortable. That's these kind of people. Don't bring your kids to church. But look at what the Lord says to them. But Jesus said, verse 14, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't take them away. Don't forbid them to come to me. Don't kick them out of my Father's house. Don't make them feel uncomfortable in my Father's house. Bring them in. Bring them in. Why? Because they're part of the reason Jesus came too. They're part of his great work. My pastor made this comment. I don't think it was original to him, but I thought it was very interesting, and I've kind of lived by it. Children are not the church of tomorrow. They are the church of today. They're the church of today. Well, brother, they're not members. No, but they're part of the ministry, aren't they? When we're doing conference stuff, do you see little hands doing work? I do. We had paint splatters all over. Thank you to everybody who went over there and painted the tables. I thought that went really well. We had little paint splatters all over the church. You know who cleaned up those little paint splatters? Those tiny little hands just kind of went in there working. And I tell you what, I caught them doing this. They were sitting there. They'd cleaned up almost all of them. And they were sat there and they'd cleaned up one area. And they just got to talking about something. And they were laughing and cleaning imaginary paint speckles as they were talking and having a good time. That blesses my heart. They're going to remember that stuff for the rest of their lives. Hey, remember that time we were cutting up? Brother Roland came over and caught us not doing anything. He said, all right, guys, moving along. That was a good time. What were we talking about? Man, I don't even know what we were talking about. We were just laughing. We should have laughed quieter. He wouldn't have saw us. That tickles my heart. That's the church of today. And what is it that we prepare for? For those of you that have done Sunday school, will do Sunday school, are doing Sunday school, what's the purpose of our labor? To educate them. That's part of your ministry. That's part of your service to the Lord. So that moms and dads like me and Danielle and Maris and JP, so we can sit there and have the comfort in knowing that our children are downstairs being taught. And the same things we hold up in our houses are the same things being held up in those classrooms. And that is a blessing. We ought to bring children into the church. We ought to be glad to have children within the church. They ought to be there for Sunday school. I talked to somebody just recently. They said, oh man, you know, we have an issue with Sunday school and Sunday morning services because that's when the hockey games are being played. We got to go do this, we got to go do that. We have a hard time making it to church on Sunday because we've got Little League or softball or whatever sport. and they put that above church. Bring them into the Sunday morning service. All right, listen, the odds of your child, and of course I'm talking to a bunch of people who I hope are done having children, right? We got some young people in here still. At least I think I'm young. I'm calling you young. We're young, right? But some of you who are in the retirement age, I hope you're done. but no. Those kids need to be in church. And I'll firmly stand by that. It is a sad day when the baseball coach has more of sway of what your family does than God does. There are some people, hey, my kids are acting up. So you know what we did? We went early to the team because he respects his coach. We took him to talk to the coach to see maybe if the coach could calm down his attitude. Never mind the fact you got a pastor sitting right there who could do it in a more godly way than your coach ever could. We skip by these things and we dive into the wrong kind of avenues. No, bring them to Sunday school. And we ought to see that within the church itself, is that invitation to please come and learn. You know what the biggest problem that's happened among churches and why we've gotten ourselves into the pickle we have? We began to grow Sunday school classes so we could have big Sunday school classes, so we could have multiple Sunday school classes, so we could have X number of children attending church on Sunday. That is not the purpose of a Sunday school. The purpose of a Sunday school is to educate children and teenagers in the Word of God. And by the way, we do it for our adults too. So for those of you adults going, well, what am I doing here? We have an adult Sunday school class. We get into deeper stuff. We can talk about bigger words and we can, again, go into deeper topics. We must have children in Sunday school. You know, I've seen people do Sunday school wrong. Well, we'll bring them in and we'll do 45 minutes of crafts and then we'll do about a 5-minute lecture. And then after that, if there's any time left over between the song service and whatnot, we'll go on over to the activity area. We'll let them bonk around the activity area for a while. Then it's time for children's church, where you get, again, some more handouts to color and pick up. And then we'll let you go back to the activity area at the end. And you'll stay in the activity area until your parents come to get you. I heard somebody give this testimony. I think it was a Christian comedian talked about going to a mega church, and they would, as you would drop your child off in the childcare area, in the daycare area of the church, they would hand you a number. And if that number flashed on the screen for the church, so you're sitting in church, they got those monster screens. Let's say I drop my kids off, you know, I drop off Melody, and I'm sitting in the services, and the preacher's preaching, the number 99 flashes up there, and I'm holding the ticket number 99, I just lost the lottery. I gotta go back and figure out who she's punched in the nose. As a mess. And you know what these people do? And I'm not trying to, again, I gotta be careful. Sometimes I sound so hateful towards other churches. I gotta watch it. But we gotta mark bad behavior. And that bad behavior looks like this. Let's sit there and brag about having 100 kids in our Sunday school. You got 100 kids, you didn't teach them anything. I had 500 people come to my barbecue this weekend. I didn't feed them anything, but I had 500 people there in my backyard. Good job for you. We went out and we rounded up all the homeless. Well, what did you do? We gave them hand sanitizer and we got everybody together. We took a picture. We had a good old time. We played some music and we danced around. Well, did you feed them? No. Did you point them to where they can get some housing? No. But I bet you smeared that picture all over social media. Look how valiant and charitable we are. Or these mission trips that people put kids on. Take your high schoolers, you put them on mission trips over to the foreign lands, and they go and they spend one day shopping, and they spend 2 days going out, just kind of walking around, never once having given the gospel, never once picking up a hammer, never once serving a plate of food, never actually doing the work of a missionary, but they call it a mission trip. It's a joke. Bring them in for education. Let them know what the Bible says. That ought to be the point. We see people using gathering children for wrong behavior all the time. We refer so often to Nazi Germany. That's how they did it. We're going to start developing these little youth groups, get these kids together so we can get them onto our way of thinking, and we will build this grand army. For what? To do whatever we say. That's not why we teach children in this church. We teach them the whole counsel of God so that when the Lord saves them, they know how to use that stuff in their lives. It is our duty to train them up as they should go. And I don't know about you, but the spiritual life of an adult has very little about bounce houses and face painting and other ridiculous behavior like that. Now again, I'm not against bounce houses. You know, maybe one day we'll have a big old thing, have some bounce houses for the kids to go play in. But that's not Sunday school. You understand? Well, brother, for the kids thing, you typically do about a 5 to 10 minute devotion, and then you have the kids go out and play. Yeah, that's what that's designed for. Well, that's not really teaching them. No, that's what Sunday school is for. That's what that's for. This is a little cherry on top. And also, no one's going to tell you to be quiet if you run around screaming, because that's what we're here for. That's fine. We need the kids in Sunday school. What about during the services? Hey, listen, we got to not just teach the kids, we ought to preach to the kids. We ought to get them comfortable and understanding and how to do it. Which means, hey, kids, we got to pay attention when we're old enough to pay attention. We kind of have a thing where we're trying to get the kids through it. It doesn't always go well. You know, sometimes we'll be at a conference, we'll rely a little bit more heavily on some of the activity things, you know, just to get us through, and that's fine. But I tell you what, you hit a certain age, it's time for you to put the crayons away. It's time for us to stop gluing our eyes to screens underneath the pews. And we need to take a stand, and we need to focus. Because I'll tell you what, if you can watch an hour and a half Disney movie, you'd be perfectly fine sitting there paying attention to church. Now again, I want to put a big age thing on that. All right, and that's not just age. Sometimes it's the ability to sit and pay attention and that sort of a thing, which happens at different ages for different kids. Parents, we should know the best about it. And by the way, I would kindly suggest that you trust the parents in that. You know, I'll sit there sometimes. You know, I've got Xander. Xander's been able to take notes, and I can talk about them because they're not here. Xander's been able to take notes for a very long time. Caspian, he's still working on it. So you know what we're doing? We're working on it. It's no big deal. Gideon, he's young. He's just learning his letters. You know, I'll look over and he'll be paying attention to me from time to time. He makes his dad proud. I'm not going to expect Melody to sit perfectly still and take notes at her age. Not more than I would do Gideon or anybody. It's just you gotta trust the parent on that. Because honestly, it is all parents' desires, I would hope, for us to sit and to focus. You know, like right now, I mean, you think about, you know, I know my kids are gone and sometimes they're the culprit, but just listen. That's abnormal for a group of kids. Our kids do great. You know what I mean? Kids, if you're listening to me going, oh man, he's picking on me, I'm not. You're fantastic. I love you. You guys do great. Absolutely. We have a great time here. We're good behaved kids here. So we ought not stress about these things. I used to do that sometimes. People would come up, your kids were so great. And I know the only reason why they thought my kids were great was because they were sitting on the other edge of the church. They didn't see them dump out mommy's purse. They didn't see them take those contents and draw on me. You know, they didn't see that stuff. No, we had. But there comes a time where we sit there and we say, all right, hey, listen, 12-year-old, what did you pick up from the sermon today? Here's what I want. I want you to try to encapsulate just 5 things. Write down 5 things. 5 points that the preacher made. Go ahead, write that down for me. Because we're going to talk about it next Sunday. And you'll sit there and I'll see Xander. He'll do that. He'll write things down. He'll get a full page sometime. I love picking on him when he's not here. But that's, you see it. And I go, hey, that's wonderful. That's the way I was taught to sit and pay attention. Because I don't know if you've noticed this. Sitting still's not my thing. It's not my thing. So Jim Gill, he was the one who did it. He'd come over and he'd say, boy, you gotta sit still. Boy, you gotta sit still. And he'd come over, put a hand on my shoulder. Boy, you gotta sit still. Finally, he goes, if you can't sit still, I tell you what, this is what you got to do. You got to move with a purpose. Write notes. And I think it was a piece of candy or something like that. See, you give it out for free. Jim Gill, you had to work for him. I had to take notes. And that's how he taught me to sit still before my mom started coming to church with us. When I was coming on the van, that's how Jim Gill got some kid he didn't know to sit still in church, is he made me take notes. Now when I'll sit there, you know, I'd sit there at the end of one of Brother Hugin's sermons and just have a full page. Why? Because that's the only thing I could do to stop me from, you know, wiggling and moving and going and visiting other pews. And I did that a couple times. You know, people come up, oh, what you must think about me. I go, man, I wish we could go back in time and you could see how well I behaved during church services before you apologized to me. At our conference, a mom came, I'm so sorry for my kids. Man, if you only knew what I looked like when I was a kid, you know I'm not judging you. It just happened. I remember we were down at a funeral at it was my Uncle Homer's funeral. And I disappeared under the pews and I just kind of traveled up the pews. That's a bad game to play to begin with at a Southern Baptist church, but it is a bad time to play that game too. I popped up, I didn't know where I was. And know where I was. Bring them into the church. Bring them into the services. Now, we used to do children's church at Flat Rock. I still think there's room for it. There's importance in that. But children need to sit in the main congregation. They need to be in the main congregation. Because it is hard to make that transition over if you never have them there. If we're always dumping them off to some distraction or dumping them off to some other place in the church, they will never quite grasp the things. Danielle and I promised ourselves that we would not be the ones to limit our children's ability. That we would always wait, we would always sit there and gauge what they're doing and what they're interested in. And you know what I found when we allow our children to tell us what they're good at and what they're bad at? We found that there was far less limitations to what they could do than what we would have thought. We were always surprised. They would end up doing something and we would say, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. That's a lot younger than I anticipated you being able to do that. You know, some people sit there and say, I can't bring my kids into the congregation. They're just not old enough. You don't start. They'll never be old enough. They'll never be old enough. When people brought those kids, they brought them to Jesus. They brought them to his attention, brought them in front of him. Why? Touch him, bless him, teach him, educate him, let him hear what it is that you have to say. Not in some place far out away or out of reach. We need those kids to where they can be near the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of his word, in the singing of his praises. I tell you what, you hear it a lot at camp, but every now and then I'll see it among some of my friends, and I'll hear the kids do it. They'll start singing hymns. You ever walk across some kids singing hymns? One of the most beautiful things on earth. Teach them that. Teach them how to sing, not just to sing, but teach them to sing with a heart that loves God. Because I tell you what, and the Lord's going to get to this point here in this reading. Children have a heart we ought to wish we had. Something happens to us when we get old. We get distracted. We lose the sparkle of all the wonderful things about God. May you hear a child sing praises to God. There's something wonderful about it. And I wish that we could bring that back to ourselves, that our faith would be like the faith that they have, that our love for God would be like the love that they have. So we need to not have them out of the way. We need not to keep them distracted, but we need to give them the Lord's influence. The Lord's influence. So when we bring them into church, Sunday school must be about Christ. Our sermons must be about Christ. Well, brother, I just taught on creation last week. Did I mess up? There's Christ in everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There He is, right there in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. There's Christ right there. We must teach the Bible. Not trying to fill it with weird references. Not trying to put their vernacular nor their way of speaking. You know, some of these slang terms you hear today. And I was at a store and I heard a kid just kind of, the two kids talking to each other while they're standing there by their mom. I didn't understand a word they said. Might as well have been gibberish. I don't know if maybe they were talking gibberish. I just didn't make any sense. You know, we don't need to be more worldly. We need to teach Christ. And there was a lot of people that put a lot of influence in that. There were a lot of, they try to highlight that in what they're doing. Well, you got to make it more to their level as far as society. There's societal norms, there's societal expectations. But talk to them like they talk to each other. No, I'm gonna speak the King's English, and I'm gonna tell them the truth. Now, I'm not gonna be up here with it, and I'm not gonna sit there. You know, someone like Charlie. Hi, Charlie. How you doing? I'm not gonna teach someone like Charlie on the same level that I would teach somebody like Gideon. You understand? We got to speak to them on their level. You know what I mean? We got to put them right where they are, but not debase ourselves to do so. We see today in modern Christianity, to get people to come, pastors are making pop culture references, right? They're naming their sermons, or they're giving their sermons themes to pop culture references. What an absolute and total blasphemy. I saw a quote. And it kind of tickled me. It says, I hope it was a blast for them because it was a blast for me. I've seen so often that happen, you know, the Super Bowl kicking the Bible and the different things that they'll do. Oh, let's have an Adams Family themed church service, and the sermon's going to be which one of the applying biblical characteristics to members of the Adams Family, and which one are you? That pastor's going to have to answer for God. Answer to God for that. No, what must we do instead? We preach the whole counsel of God. We teach them the Bible. Well, the Bible's kind of confusing for kids. That's why you teach it to them. Duh. You know what was confusing for me the first time I did it? Everything. First time you drove a car. First time you got behind the wheel of a car. Some of you got to drive early. Some of you didn't get to get behind the wheel of a car until you were in the driver's training class, whatever have you. The first time you stepped behind the wheel of a car, was it confusing for you? Did you stay out of the car until it was no longer confusing for you? No, you did not. You stayed there till you figured it out. Same thing with your bicycle. Same thing with the job that you have. Same thing with school. You stuck in it till you understood it, right? We don't pull them out because it's too big for them. And again, we ought not limit the understanding. We must teach them Christ. We must ask God to save them. I'm a big believer in the doctrine of election. That's not going to stop me from praying for my kids. I will pray for my children. I'll pray for your children, your adult ones, your grandchildren. I'll pray for them all. And that doesn't bother me. Because the Lord knows that I put my trust in His will. I'm not asking Him to break His will for me. I'm just simply doing what He's asked me to do and praying on an interceding basis. So ask for God to save them. And pray for them. And pray with them. Oh, for our Sunday school teachers that pray with our kids. Oh, for the parents that stop at night and pray with those babies. For those that pray with their teenagers, for those that pray with their adult children, for those that pray with their grandchildren, and so on and so forth. It is a high ministry you do to your family to bring them before God's throne. To ask for salvation for them, to ask that God would bless them, ask that God would heal them. For births to go well, for pregnancies to go well, for God to bless in these things. We ought always to pray for our kids, bringing them and hoisting them up before the Father, just as Jesus said here, bring them to me. If you will, go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The great thing about kids and their faith is that they are blank slates. They're trusting. You and me, we've been around a block a few times. We've become jaded. We become biased. Perhaps even a little bigoted. Perhaps frustrated. Perhaps we're filled with hate over this or that. You know, so very often when I see my kids doing something or trying to explore something, I don't have to teach them kindness. It came immediately. And when I see them lose their temper, it sounds a whole lot more like me than it does them. You following me? We need to have that openness, that love, that faith that children have. And just that passion that they have in the things that they believe. And just that strength in it, that kindness, that compassion, that love. I mean, kids, they're completely different animals. My mother-in-law, she blessed the kids. She showed up when she came to help with Danielle. She showed up with two bags of just those little kids' lunch things and just kind of walked in the door with them. Oh, they were so excited. But she got four of one kind, three of another, and one of a completely different kind. And they were sitting there, and you just saw this meeting. All right, who's getting it? Well, I don't want it. Do you want it? I don't want it. Do you want it? None of us want it. Melody, do you want it? No. Okay. And finally, here's how they decided. 4 months ago, the last time Grandma came and she brought these, I got the good one. So not that any of them were bad, but now I'm going to take the odd duck one and you guys take that one because I got a good one when you guys got this one. Apparently it was reversed at one time or another and one of them just decided this is how we're going to do it. And I said, send them to Congress. Send them to Congress! Because they figured out something. I mean, there's nothing more passionate to a child than what kind of candy bar is in their lunch. Go figure it out. Go teach them how to live. Because these guys up there in Washington, man, all they do is fight. They never go anywhere. Y'all figured out the biggest problem you'll face today in a little under 2 minutes and nobody cried. Wonderful. Media didn't even get involved. What a great day. We need to humble ourselves. Be a little bit more like children. A little bit more clean thinking. A little bit more soft. But I want to focus on this, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The unfortunate thing that must be discussed is that church is sometimes a place where children go and they end up getting hurt. And you better believe that God is going to deal harshly with that person, as the church should deal with that person. Another thing we have to consider is it's not just gross evil that we got to protect our kids from. It's everyday slights and meanness. You know, it was far expected of me. I completely believed that in showing up to a church, I would see a lot of behavior towards my kids that I have often seen towards preachers' kids. That they would be held to an unfair level, that everybody would try to be mean to them and correct them in a nasty way, and that people would look at me. And I've never experienced it, and if it is going on, don't tell me. I'm living a wonderful lie then. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy as a clam. Don't burst my bubble. But I've seen wonderful treatment towards my kids. I've seen patience and love. I've received help beyond all possible imagination. My kids have made fantastic friends. None of the things I thought would happen have happened yet. Praise the Lord. Exactly. Wonderful. That is the way it must be for all children that come in. You sit there and, well, maybe perhaps one day we'd get a visitor. And the child is having a hard time. It's never been to church before. It's losing its poor little mind, just screaming and crying. and the mother's sitting there sweating. Dad didn't bother coming to church that day. You know, the mother's just trying to handle all this on their own. She's in a brand new church she's never seen before. She's stressed out. The kid is stressing her out. Her stress is stressing the kids out. And all of a sudden, you've got some dear, sweet old lady in the back of the church come up and go, "Have you ever heard of spanking?" It's not a right way to be. It's not a right way to be. Why don't we go be a blessing? Go say something nice. Because I've had that happen where I've been so, I'm sitting there trying to get all the kids together, and it's, you see the sweat starting to form, and we're getting a little, we're just imagining what everybody else is thinking, and some dear sweet person comes up to me and says, "Your children are so handsome and wonderful, and we're so glad to see you at our conference. Thank you for being here." That takes a load off of me. And I'll tell you this, when my kids get down here and they're sitting with you guys, I don't know why Casman keeps going over to Heidi and Anna, but he loves it over there. Thank you. I don't know what you guys are doing, but he sits still for you. I love that. But my kids just feel comfortable walking over to church members and just being with them. We hurt those kids, we're in trouble. We hurt those kids, they're in trouble. And sometimes it's not just in the awful things that we say, right? We talked about evil, just despair, just a little bit, despairingly. It's not just in the words that we say to the parents. Sometimes it's the harshness that we'll say to the kids, or in ignoring them all together. We ought to know the names of the kids in our church. We ought to have a love for them. And when they come over and they're, "Hey, look at this," and we say, "Okay, all right, that's wonderful." We ought to acknowledge that, because they're going to remember you. So we ought to remember them. And again, having an idea of what they are. I mean, there was a time in my life where we were playing sports and we just started going to the church, and I was just ending coach pitch at that time when we started going to church, and some of the church members would come to my games. I wasn't anybody special. I wasn't anybody's kids in the church. They just wanted to come and meet my family. They just wanted to come and root for me. So guess what? When I got older and I had a Sunday school class when my kids were doing stuff, I'd go there every now and then. Danielle and I would get up in the car. We would go over there and we would cheer for them. You know, I'd try to find a hat that matched their team colors, you know, that we had in the house. And yeah, yeah, go yeah! Every now and then I'd confuse them because I couldn't see them all the way out there. I'd cheer for the wrong kid. I don't care. Good time. Children ought to be visible in our church. When we treat them like secondary, we treat them like afterthoughts, they're going to feel like they're afterthoughts. Jesus wanted those kids right by him. "You bring them right up here." "Well, I'm going to keep my kids in the far back because I don't want to be a distraction." Lord says, "You bring them right to me. Right to me." You know, he knows our kids. The adult ones, the teenage ones, the children, even the little tiny babies, he knows them. And he wants them close. The other thing here is not just what we say or what we do, but it is very much in the attitudes in which we hold in the church for them. There must be places in this church for children. We must see them. We must celebrate them. The milestones, the things that they achieve. "Well, you know, there's a lot of different opinions." No. We ought to celebrate them. You know, I like seeing the kids do wonderful things. I like hearing about their achievements. You know, I just completely impressed by the things our young people have done. And we ought to lift those things up and say, "Hell, praise God that you're able to do that. That's wonderful. Oh, look at that. That is a fantastic thing." Celebrate them. Because they bring joy to the Lord's heart. They ought to bring joy to ours. And when they suffer, they ought to be just like us. They may not be members, but we ought to weep with them when they weep. And we ought to joy with them when they joy. We ought to. Because again, they are not a becoming part of us. They are a part of us. We are their examples. We are their leaders. We are the ones that they're going to look at and decide who God is. It's unfair, I know. that someone would look at you and make a decision on God based on your behavior, but that is the way the brain works. How often have you seen God judged because of bad people calling themselves Christians? We must be that example. The Bible encourages the men to train the young men in the church, for the elderly women to come in and teach the young women how to do things. It is built within Scripture how a church ought to edify and exhort and build up the young people within the church. And nothing more by that casual mentorship of, hey, can I help with the conference? What can I do here in the kitchen? All right, here's your job. Your job is to sit there and heat up the beans. That's your job. That's not a very big job. You start off, you impress me with the beans, I'll give you the corn. You know what I mean? You impress me with that. Can you put the forks down? Oh yeah, I can put the forks. You put the forks down nice? Awesome. Now you're in charge of putting the napkins down too. Look at it. You're getting promoted. That should be what we're doing. But aren't you afraid they're going to mess it up? No, I know they're going to mess it up. That's why it's called training and not graduation. Of course they are. It's training. And then one day they're just like you. They're nailing the same things. They're doing it all right. They got the same mind of the things that work. They got your wisdom. They got your knowledge. They got everything they can from you. And what happens? Here comes another group of kids. Can I help? Absolutely. Go get the beans. Can I teach a Sunday school class? I'd love for you to teach a Sunday school class. All right, what do I do? Very first thing you're going to do is you're going to go down there. You're going to sit with Paula for a couple weeks. Don't stress out about that, Paula. Don't. You're going to go sit with Paula for a couple weeks. All right. Take notes on how she does things. Notice how she gets a copy of whatever for all the kids. Notice how she has the kids sit. Notice where she has which kids sit. Just pull every bit of knowledge and wisdom out of her. Okay, well then what? All right, I'm going to have you come over. I'm going to have you sit with Sister Danielle. Okay. And I'm going to have you go over and I'll have you sit with this teacher and that teacher. And then we'll sit down, we'll get together, I'm going to give you some curriculum, you're going to study it, and then when one of our teachers gets sick, I'm going to toss you in there. And eventually, if things begin to grow, I'm going to give you your own class. Cool? Cool. There we go. That's how we train a Sunday school teacher. We just need the movement, right? But we always have a place for teaching. We always have a place for building and educating. Not so that we can manipulate, not so that we can force obedience through repetition of knowledge, no. But so that they can do what must be done. So that they can grow up and live a godly lifestyle, having been taught all the things that a godly lifestyle requires. So that they can find themselves serving one day in the church as well. So they can find themselves obedient to the Lord. Children must be treated like the church of today. Again, if they're not saved, if they're not members, they don't get to do member stuff. But they get to be right there while that stuff's happening. And they get to be taught how to do it. Even down to picking up little wrappers and things like that. Well, that's not a very big thing. Oh no, it's the start of a very big thing. You start minding the cleanliness. And as you impress me with that, more will be given. Oh, that we would teach that devotion to the work of God. Then we would see them coming up with a desire. But the moment we slip, the moment we hurt them, the moment we provide a bad example, we not only draw God's anger upon us, God's correction upon us, but we have hurt the future of that child. We must be careful with our behavior. Well, you don't understand, they put the chair in the wrong place. Say that about 5 times. Where did they put the chair? In the wrong place. And what did it cost you? Well, that's 5 whole seconds it's going to take me to fix it. Come on now. Kids got rowdy downstairs. They played with a ball they weren't supposed to play with. That's my fault. They knocked down some of the covers on the light fixtures. It's going to take me minutes to put those back up. I'm so frustrated. those kids are going to have those memories for a long time. We did get rid of the ball. I think one of the older kids from our church got rid of it. They're like, nope, get out of here. This is how a church ought to treat children. Not distracting them, not entertaining them, not kicking them out, not putting them over there in a daycare. But you sit next to mom and dad. Or in my case, wherever they end up. I don't know how the... I'll come up here, my kids are just in a brand new spot every time. You sit down and you listen. That's part of training them up. Bring them in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for you. Grateful, Lord, that you're patient with us and you train us and you teach us. And Lord, you continue to remind us. Father, I pray this, that you help this church always have a good attitude towards the young people. Father, not that we would try to manipulate, not that we're trying to cajole them into something, but that, Father, they would be seen, heard, appreciated, and loved. That's what we ought to do, because that's what you do. Help us, Lord, to do everything we can to have the same spirit Jesus did, and that we would bring our children, that we would pray for them, and that, Lord, we would be good examples to them. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.